Well, first of all, you have to go through an entirely new routing system. So our experts, our VersaTrans, as well as First Student, have said we can make this happen, and so we've seen simulations of those. So we've already seen efficiency, which to me means less buses. We've also seen, with less buses, how can we have more students on buses but still keep it within a time frame where students on a bus over 60 minutes. And by the way, some of the simulations place the average time about 28 minutes. So that's within range of acceptability for us. We do have, though, outliers that because of some special programming, some of our students start from all the way up in the northern part of our district and have to go to the most southern part, and they're picking up additional students. Those routes we need to think about, we need to focus on, and because we don't want a student on a route for over an hour and a half. That's just not acceptable. So we need to rethink that. But also that starts the question of, if that program, maybe that program needs to be relocated in a more central location of our district. Or maybe this is a program that's going to continue to grow, so maybe we need to have a north and a south or an east-west type program. But those are the things that we're finding that are coming out that will now start problem solving and eliminating those as barriers. Another piece would be our special routing. We have 68 regular ed buses, and yet we run also 35 special ed buses. Now, those are different reasons why we have those. Some are part of the IEP, which we absolutely believe are the best interests of the student. We're trying to maximize their learning. And for us, we need to figure out how to perhaps combine some of those routes. We will be doing that as well. So that's another major piece. I'll tell you another component is ridership. We found through this whole process that ridership is probably the most essential fact to, first of all, not just an estimate, but get an actual census, and then start routing based on actual ridership. But we have to communicate to our parents and our students that you don't just have two options. It's not just, I want to have a bus ride, I want busing, or I do not want busing. It's, do you need busing? And if you need it, say in the fall, then it's provided. But in the winter, then we'll readjust routing, because in winter you don't need it. But then again, in spring you do. So we have to communicate the fact that that can be very fluid, it can be dynamic, and we need to have a flexible routing system. We're working on that right now as well. So huge. Those things just popped up. Another idea would be community stops. Community stops are critical, because maybe we could have, especially if we're combining junior high with high school routing, we need to know how many junior high students are actually boarding at this spot and how many high school students are boarding at this spot. Combine those. Can we do that? Well, we can if we have that kind of careful analysis. My goal would be to have one of the best routing systems and be a model for routing and have that kind of quick turnaround response for our families.
This is Sound Ideas. I'm Charlie Schlenker. We're talking with Unit 5 Superintendent Mark Daniel. With the elaborate input process and multi-tiered look at the transportation system, you have saved a lot of money, but not enough.
Correct.
What do you look at now to save the rest of it and to prepare for more hard times that are likely to come from Springfield?
That's a great question. And as you know, we're really less than 70% prorated. It's as if we're prorated on a proration, especially if we do not receive our categorical payments, which are four payments made throughout the year, of which we're only estimating three payments this year.
Yeah, so, and those categoricals are for special ed and transportation and other specific things.
Correct. So with that, we know that we have relied heavily on renting of buses. Renting of buses is a cost of basically $57 a day every time we utilize a bus from First Student. That's a model that you can use. But we're finding that because of that additional cost coming from transportation fund, that we cannot continue to do that if we want to balance this fund. And if we don't balance the fund, we have to take it out of education fund or other funds, which means we're taking money out of the classroom and moving it to the transportation fund. And already we're stretched in the education fund. So therefore, that's not an alternative for us. So we have to look for either our own cash reserves, our cash on hand, our working cash, and that will be the area where we're going to focus on. Beginning in April, we'll start having discussions in regards to working cash.
So a working cash fund bond has a price to it because you're paying interest on that.
Yes.
In the longer term, that's not a great use of money because you're paying interest, even if the rates are pretty low right now.
Yes. So we did that analysis as well. So we looked at renting versus the bond. In actuality, we are spending less owning than we are in renting. But that analysis is important because we want to maximize the use of every dollar that we receive.
What else are you looking at doing?
Well, we have talked about, do we look at charter services for our co-curricular groups? Say it is the volleyball team going to an out of town game, or it could be our choir, whatever it may be, any of our co-curricular type groups. So we are looking at that. Peoria has some of those facilities and opportunities, so that is one thing. Do we also add additional costs per student for those items? It'll generate some revenue to cover that. Do we look at our entire co-curricular programming in regards to how do we make them more self-sufficient and self-reliant? And to do that, they have to look at their cost structuring. I can tell you, though,
so overall, charging more for sports and extracurricular activities.
Yep, charging more for those services and doing that across the board for those students who participate in those.
How much more, and will there be an income testing? Because obviously, that if the fees get high enough, you are disenfranchising some of the needier students.
Absolutely. So we already do that on a regular basis. That would continue. That is a thought. We are not moving forward on that at this point in time. But we do have to have, if the state continues to have lack of funding, we are going to have to go to those measures. And to be quite frank, if worst case scenario, if we do not have a budget, and what I'm hearing right now from the state legislature and the governor, there may not be a budget until November and no funds will be released. Well, if that would happen, that would put us in a phenomenal stretch of what our current resources, to the point where I don't know we would have to do something vastly different than just looking at co-curricular.
Like what?
Well, recently, I attended a superintendent's meeting, and it was all of our surrounding counties as well as McLean. And that was one of the questions that was brought to us. What is your option B? And my option B is, first of all, I think we need to have collective input from not just Unit 5, but let's bring together all of our school board presidents. Let's bring together all of our superintendents, and let's come together and discuss what would option B be. What would that plan actually consist of? And here's a reason, because I don't think one district can lead that by itself. If it's going to be impactful, it needs to come from all of Central Illinois.
Impactful in a political sense on the people who have the decision-making power in Springfield, in the governor's office, and in House and Senate leadership.
Absolutely. And what we've heard, well, parents need to be bringing this message now. We've heard it from the educators and school board members. Now I'm hearing state legislators say, well, we need to hear it from parents. Well,
you would then have a similar process to what you did with the transportation funding and engaging the public and engaging parents to come forth with ideas.
I think that would be critical. And one thing I'm so impressed about the Bloomington Normal community is that as a community, we come together to find resolutions. We come together and find resources that will support the entire community. And that is very unique. I'll go back to the transportation piece. So we have people now coming forward and saying, hey, maybe we need to create some online boards where their messages are there for here's childcare service available in a home scenario. Or perhaps we can come together and look at, we've met with teachers and principals, maybe we can come up with ideas in regards to how can we as a school district provide some after-school phenomenon. But we also have all of our vendors coming together, too, and they're saying, let us be part of the solution as well. So again, it's not just a Unit 5 phenomenon, it's a community phenomenon, and I think that's more powerful.
To be a meaningful sort of primal scream to Springfield, it's going to have to be a dramatic statement of this is what the cost is and this is what we cannot do any longer. Do you have an idea of what that might be if the average daily student allotment ceases to come in?
Well, if it ceases to come in, we have about a 75-day cash on hand. That would be depleted rather quickly. With that in mind, do we go into a, we use that based on number of days we're projecting, and when does that kick in? So I've heard some people say, perhaps when the money's gone, the doors close. That would be draconian. I would like to think, we have 6th through 12th graders. We're one-to-one. We do much of our instruction, our curriculum's online. Do we spread that out with maybe this week we attend school 3 days? The other 2 days, students are at home and our teachers are teaching virtually. That is not the best case scenario, but we are talking draconian steps because we've had draconian cuts. Those are stages or possibilities, and I would like to say Unit 5 is not the only district that should be involved in this discussion. It needs to be throughout our entire state.
According to the Illinois State Board of Education, the figure is now more than 60% of school districts are deficit spending. So it already is a statewide issue.
And of those that are in deficit spending, they're spending their reserves down. Now, we, over the past several years, have been very cognizant of our balances and have worked very hard. 2 years ago, we walked into a $3 million deficit. We've reduced that to where, yes, we have a very slim balance, but that's because we've done much of what the districts that are around us, or should I say another 60% you mentioned, they're having to go through that cutting stage as well. By cutting, I mean you're reducing personnel, which is a heavy, is the number one expense for us. So if I look at Unit 5, we've reduced both central office staff, we've reduced building level staff, we've reduced number of teachers. I would say we're about as thin as we can be, and some people would say we're on thin ice. Because how are we going to continue offering the services and the level of educational programming if we don't receive the funding that at least we expect to receive? And there cannot be more reduction.
State School Superintendent Tony Smith said, so the funding system, inequitable in distribution and then inequitable in the way it takes funds away, also is costing the kids of this state opportunities that they will never get back. What do you see is the cost of opportunity for Unit 5 children so far?
We've had to reallocate our instructional coaches. We know that's a best practice. We know that has an immediate impact in the level of our instruction and therefore the level of learning of our students. We've had to redirect those because we couldn't have classrooms of 30 students in kindergarten, first grade, second grade, and third grade. So that was a conscious effort, but that's at a sacrifice. Another area would be our music program. We've had to become as lean as we possibly could be. And what does that do? That then causes our numbers to increase in our band and orchestra programs. It causes strain on instructors and directors. So overall, that impacts just those two items. I could go into others as well, but especially courses that are singletons, that is, they carry only one course, one section of that course may carry. So that would be your more advanced level courses that we're saying if there aren't 15, we can't offer.
AP Music Theory or something like that.
Something like that, or AP French or AP German, those things, which are unique courses. We all want to have those. So that's the impact right now. And we've been implementing these reductions knowing that that impact exists. And we've had to stretch our teachers, and our teachers have been tremendous. They've said, you know what, maybe I'll do both fourth year and AP at the same time. Well, I'm going to tell you that's very noble of our teachers. Is it the same level of instruction if you'd have just fourth year and just AP solo? And I'm going to tell you, it's not. You can't dual task like that and have the same level of instruction and the same outcome. That is, are students really prepared then to move to the next level? So yes, we've been engaged in that, and it's not, I do not think it's benefiting us as a community. As we look at ensuring that we have 21st century learners, college and career ready, are our students going to be able to compete globally? And I think that's what Dr. Smith's saying. If we do not have this type of, and continue to be innovative and creative in our programming, we will lose a generation of learners. We will not be able to compete globally. And I think that's to me, that's why this is so critical at this point in time.
Mark Daniel is the superintendent of Unit 5 Schools. Thanks for joining us.
You're welcome.
I'm Charlie Schlenker.